Welcome, everyone. I can hardly believe that there are actually campers who came back again for more preaching after all the week that we have enjoyed. I'll call you camp overcomers and survivors of the week. And it certainly was a blessed time of fellowship. It was great for Beulah and myself to spend time with you, getting to know you, and I can actually recognize faces, and many of you I can even put names, and we're thankful for these good things that we have enjoyed from the Lord. And I hope that you enjoyed the trip back from Batam. It was an experience, the boarding, the luggage, and then the bumpy ride on the boat coming back. But instead of annoying me, it put me to sleep. And I slept like a baby part of the way and made the journey very short. And I do sincerely thank everyone who has been so kind, so helpful, and so friendly all the way. And we give praise for this congregation, for the witness of your church here in Singapore, and for all who labor in the ministry, all who pray, all who attend. And I trust that there will be days of great blessing in the days ahead for you in this congregation. Thank you again, Joshua, for reading our Bible text, Matthew 11:28, and we are coming to these wonderful words of our Lord Jesus. And you note that they are all His words. They all come from the lips of the Savior, the Son of God. And I trust that as we look into this really, this astonishing promise, come unto me and I will give you rest. No one else could ever speak those words. Not a prophet, not an apostle, not an angel, but only the Son of God. Come unto me and I will give you rest. And I trust that everyone here today will enter in and enjoy this wonderful promise that is given by our Lord Jesus. If you're here today because of Gospel Sunday and you've been invited along, I trust that you will find the message, the whole meeting, a blessing to your own soul. And we're praying that there will be light that will enter your heart and lead you to personal faith in our Lord Jesus. Would you stand with me, please, and we'll pray together and ask for help as we minister God's Word. Father, we thank Thee for this time in the Gospel. We thank Thee for our Savior. We thank Thee for these precious words that came from the lips of our Lord. And we ask, O God, that You will give us the Holy Spirit to understand them, and to receive them and rest in this rest that Jesus gives. Bless all who have gathered here today. Thank You for each testimony of Your saving grace. Thank You for the victory that You've given to Your people again and again and again. And we pray that each one, even those who may be here for the first time, that each one will hear the Savior speak to their soul, way beyond the preacher. Lord Jesus, speak today. We pray for the infilling of the Holy Spirit and that gracious anointing of power. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Allow me to reread these words. And as J.C. Ryle would have said, these words should be written in gold. They are so precious. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." I think we all agree today that we live in a very troubled world. A world where borders are broken down, where convention is tossed on its head, politics is crazy, and wars break out on many fronts. There are more displaced people in the world today than I can ever think of another period. More people that are homeless, more people who are hungry, and even many Christians. We're just learning that in Nigeria, in particular in Africa, a massive persecution of professing Christians in that country. Now, you don't have to look at world politics. Perhaps you got that phone call today that you were hoping would never come. Perhaps you got the news that has shaken you, and you are wondering where to go and to whom to turn. And we ask, is this the best that the world can offer in the 21st century? We can understand that in ancient times, Old Testament times, people lived in turmoil and slavery and great misery. But surely with the advance of the ages and science and medicine and political reform, surely the world would become a better place. But did not our Lord Jesus tell us that we shall have wars and rumors of wars, famines and disease, right until he returns? Now, when the Lord Jesus spoke these words, he was looking around him at the local cities. And in chapter 9, he saw the people as sheep scattered without a shepherd. If you know sheep, that they love to be together. When one goes off to graze in an area, everyone follows. When they lay down in a congregation. And so when they scatter, you know that there's trouble. The wolf has come. They are fearful and they are greatly disturbed. And the Lord looked at people in his day and he described them as sheep scattered. And so while we may live in villages and societies, yet hearts are greatly troubled. And the Lord Jesus looked around the cities of Chorazin and Capernaum, the place where he had ministered perhaps the most, where they had the great privileges, and yet he offered this invitation to them. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now the Lord drew a picture in this, and he talked about the yoke, a farming analogy. And he invited people to be united or yoked to him, and thereby that they would find this wonderful rest. I want to talk to you today about how you can enjoy the rest that Jesus offers. And it's spiritual rest. The Lord is not offering riches and great physical, material benefits. We're told here, "Ye shall find rest for your souls." And that is the most important. Because even you had the whole world at your fingertips, you would not have rest within your heart, within your soul. So how can Jesus offer this rest? Well, We are told here that he can give this promise because of his Father. You see, verse 28, following verse 27, and you'll see here, Jesus said, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father." And you see how the Lord Jesus revels in his Father. He never did anything on earth outside the will of his heavenly Father. And you remember how often the Father reveled in the Son. When he was baptized, the Father announced from the glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And so all the life and all the ministry of the Lord Jesus pleased his heavenly Father. And you will see here that Jesus is come to reveal the Father, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Now, you may have read in the Bible that Jesus is the express image of the Father. He is his mirror image. God is a spirit. He has no body. But Jesus took a body, and he lived a life in communion with his Father. He lost nothing of his godhood, nothing of his glory, and he lived in a body like us. And during his earthly life, he displayed the nature, the character, the compassion of the God of heaven. Everything was seen in the Son. Now, I know that fathers here take great delight when their children want to be like you. And they're not only like you genetically and facial features, but they walk like you. And they want to imitate how to talk like you. Because you are their hero. You are the one that they want to honor and follow and be like. I remember that as a boy. I wanted to be like my dad. And in an even higher way, the Lord Jesus reveals the Father. All the graces and all the attributes of God are in him. And so if you want to know God, if you want to know more about who God is, look at the life, look at the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is right for him to say that if any man wants peace, come unto me. Come unto me. I'm the one that will reveal God to you. You want to know God? You want to walk with God? You want to have peace with God? Come unto me. Now, he truly gives rest. There is no rest in false gospels, in other religions, because they only add more ceremonies, more works, more performance. But Jesus tells us, stop. Cease from trying yourself. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. And that's why it's true when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now, Christ reconciles sinners to the Father. We know that everyone that's born of Adam, you remember how he sinned and he became a fugitive. He ran into the trees. He was hiding from God. He had no heart from God. And every one of us are children of Adam, are aliens running from God. There's a heart of rebellion in the natural heart. But the Lord Jesus is come, and he will reconcile you, though you be a rebel, though you be a stranger to God. His work is to reconcile you to God. That's his work. That's his life ministry. And he did that in so many powerful ways. All of his living is to lead you to the Father. And all of his suffering on the cross, hanging there as a sacrifice. Mind you, just see the form of Jesus, the Son of God, stretched out on that cross. What are those? But arms of invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Those are the words of a welcoming Savior to bring you to faith in the Lord Jesus. And because Jesus is the revelation of the Father, he is able to bring you to enjoy true fellowship, true peace with God, and you will have that peace and that rest within your own soul. There is a great analogy in the life of Joseph. You know that he was sold down into Egypt. He became prime minister, and when Pharaoh had a dream, nobody could interpret it but Joseph. And Joseph said, there are going to be years of famine. Gather in all the corn into the barns during the 7 good years. And then when the famine comes, there will be food and bread for the people. So after the 7 good years, the famine set in, and the people cried to Pharaoh, give us bread. And Pharaoh said, go to Joseph. He's the one with the keys to the barns. He will give you the grain and the bread you need. Go to Joseph. And now the Father says, my Lord Jesus is the bread of life. My Son, go to Jesus. Go to Christ. He is the one that will give you that food, that life that you need, and that rest within your soul. So in this way, the Lord Jesus is right. He can truly say this. Come unto me, and I will. You can note the assurance. You can note the absolute answer here. I will give you rest. Now, it's also true because Jesus promises soul rest. Rest in your heart. He's not promising you something that is unrealistic. But he who is the Savior and the Lord God, he who created us, Jesus was there in the creation. And so he's the one who gave us our bodies. He gives us our minds, our eyesight, our faculties. The very breath we breathe, in him we live and move and have our being. And so this same Jesus, he says, come unto me and I'll give you rest for your soul. And when we were created with a body, but also a soul. There is an eternal spirit inside your bosom. And you have that image of God created. You're stamped with something of God, and it's called his image. And Jesus, he promises not only rest for our bodies, but for our souls. That part that craves for God. That part that will never be at rest until we have God in our very hearts. Now, how can he do this? Well, he answers that question by giving us a wonderful picture of the yoke, which speaks of the oxen plowing. It's a farm picture. And you can imagine the large ox, and he's pulling a plow, pulling a cart, and it is pushing forward, pulling the implement along. But when you put two oxen together, you need a yoke, a frame, a mechanism by which they are pushing and pulling equally. And they can pull the plow or implement so much easier together. Now, when the Lord says, take my yoke upon you, he is saying, be united to me. Don't carry this burden alone. Don't try to be your own Savior. Don't try to get right with God without me. Don't try to be a little God in your own strength. Take my yoke and come unto me. Take my yoke, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so this means so many wonderful things. That means we come under his gospel work, and all of his strength, all of his victory, all of his righteousness, all of his work on the cross, all that he accomplished in redemption, all that he did on behalf of sinners, he shares with us. We become united to him. It means to place yourself in step with all the purposes of the Lord and of God. You cease to live your own life. You submit to become a Christian, united by faith, by the Spirit, with Jesus, the Son of God. And he invites you to take this yoke upon you. And it means that you will never be ever again left alone. Jesus never sends his people alone. Even his servants, he says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, and lo, I am with you always. What an encouragement for our missionaries here today. You are not sent out alone. Jesus will be with you. And if you are not yet a Christian, and you are saying, what is it that makes these Christians so happy, so excited, so restful, even in trouble? How can they possibly do it? It's because we, by faith, by grace, are united to the Lord Jesus in a real way. It's not phony. It's not just theory. It is a genuine work of grace within our souls, where Christ comes in, and by his grace we live. Now be yoked with Christ, because all men are servants of somebody. Who do you serve today? If the Lord Jesus is not your Lord and Savior, who are you yoked to? Everyone is a servant of somebody. And if you are not yoked to the Lord, you are a wide open candidate to be the servant of sin and the devil. And he will rule over you to your ruin. Now there's a picture of this when the children of Israel asked that they would have a king to be like the other nations. They wanted to have a king. And Samuel, the faithful prophet of God, he warned them, don't dare do it. Because if you have a king, he will only take. And in 2 Samuel 8, you have a whole list. He said, he will take your sons, he will take your daughters, he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, take the tenth of your seed, take your men servants, your maid servants, take the tenth of your sheep. It would be burdensome to be under a king, because he will live rich and you will be poorer. And my friend today, you are a servant of somebody. And if you are not a servant joined to the Lord Jesus, what a burden you are under. There is, of course, the burden of sin and guilt, the burden of your own wretchedness. And instead of becoming freer and freer as you go through life, you become more burdened. The weight gets heavier and heavier, and you are burdened. But Jesus invites you, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Now, do notice in these verses that the Lord points out very thoroughly that he is not a hard taskmaster. And you know, that's what the world says. That's what the devil would say, that to be a Christian, it's hard. It's burdensome. And the Lord counters this with very clear statements. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. What a gentle Savior we have. What a kind Savior he has. He came all the way from glory, not to condemn, but to seek and to save that which was lost. Not to burden us, but he came as the sin bearer. And he is the one that went to the cross in our place. And when we come to him, all our sins are laid on Jesus. And all his grace is given to us. We're not burdened. Let no one ever say that to be a Christian is hard, because we're not in hell today. And we're not even worthy of the grace that we have received. And praise God for the Christian, we never will be in hell. Jesus has lifted us from the burden of condemnation, of fear, and even destruction. And so we are joined to him all the way. Now I want to point out that Jesus said here something very unique. He did not say it anywhere else in his life ministry. He says, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And here he describes his own heart. It's the only place in the Bible the Lord Jesus talks about his own heart. Now, he talked about other people's hearts. He talked about people who had sinned within them. But Jesus himself said, my heart is meek and lowly. That's me. That's the real me. This is the sympathizing Lord Jesus. And you know that everyone that came to him found him merciful. Found him kind and good. Even think of the blind beggars sitting along the roadway. When they learned that Jesus was passing by, they began to shout out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. And the disciples said, shh, don't trouble the master. But Jesus called them, and he gave them their sight. He's a burden lifter. When people were annoyed by little children that would come to Jesus and they denied their access to Jesus, he said, no, suffer the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of God. And he took them up into his arms. This is the Lord Jesus whom we worship and we serve, and we have no fear to be joined unto him. He is the one I want as my friend, as my strength, as my power to get through all the needs of life. And everyone that Jesus counseled, he lifted their burdens. I think of the woman of Samaria who came to the well. What a sinful woman. But he lifted her burden and she went off rejoicing. Come, see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She was excited about the Savior. And then the woman that was taken with adultery, condemned by men, Jesus said, I do not condemn you. Go and sin no more. He lifted her burden. And more than that, he gave her the power to go and sin no more. And that's what Jesus does when he comes into our hearts, when we are united with him, yoked with Jesus. Temptations lose their power. We win the battle. We get the victory over sin, because at the cross, our Savior got the victory for us. And when we are yoked, united to him by grace, by the Spirit, by faith, then we get the victory. Oh, do not be afraid to come and take upon you the yoke of the Lord Jesus and be united to him today. Will you come? Trust him? Maybe you're wondering, I'm afraid to become a Christian. It would be too heavy, burdensome, too difficult to live a Christian. No, not at all. There's not a person here today would ever say, I regret becoming a Christian. The burden's too heavy. No, he giveth more grace, our hymn writer puts it. He giveth more grace, and out of his fullness shall all we receive. I have another big reason why the Lord Jesus is the one who can truly give you rest. Because here is an unconditional invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor. An unconditional invitation. Come all. He doesn't exclude any. You might say, well, it's just for Singaporeans. If that was the case, how could I be a Christian? Or some might say, it's only for Asians. Well, if that was the case, how could I be a Christian? Or some might say, it's only for rich people. And if that's the case, how could I be a Christian? And some people will make excuses just saying, well, I can't come because it's not for me. Not true. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor. That includes you're invited. There's not one who will go at the judgment day and say, God, you never invited me. Come all ye that labor. Come with your labor. You don't have to set yourself free and fix your problems before you come to Jesus. You come to Jesus to have your burdens lifted. He's the one who gives you the victory, who breaks the chains of sin, who sets you free to serve and to worship him. And so come with your fears, come even with your failures. And you may say, I'm so unworthy to even think about becoming a Christian. But my friend, it's for failures Jesus came. It is for sinners, not the righteous, not those who think they're good enough. It is for you who will confess, I need to be saved from my wretched sin. Come to the one who is truly able to save your soul. Come with your weariness. You might say, I'm so tired of life. I've been laboring and working and just burnt out. I've got no more energy, no more strength to go forward. I just feel like ending it all. Jesus says, come in all your need and all your burden. And don't stop praying until you leave the burden with the Lord. Cast the burden upon the Lord Jesus. That's the secret. You know that verse in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The word cast means to roll. Roll the burden unto the Lord Jesus. Let him carry the load. It's the same as being yoked to the Lord Jesus. When you're united to him, you're asking the Lord, carry me, bear me along, keep me strong, keep me going, lead me all the way through life, even through death. Lord, don't leave me. Be yoked to me in death. And when I go through the chilly waters of Jordan and I go into eternity, Lord, let that yoke unite us together. And when we open our eyes in eternity, I want to be with Jesus and I want Jesus to be with me. And so we can be yoked together for all eternity. And so let me kneel the lie that Jesus creates burdens or lays burdens upon people. And if that's the reason why you have not yet become a Christian, please bury the lie. Put it away. It's not a reason. It's a denial of the goodness, the grace, the mercy that is in the Lord Jesus. And he offers you free mercy. It's called sovereign grace, which is a duplication of the same thing. Grace means free. Grace means gratuitous. Grace means God's riches at Christ's expense. The bill has been paid at the cross. And you receive all the riches by come and be united to the Lord Jesus. What a promise this is. Don't you see how these words should be written in gold? For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What more can I say to you that might convince you today that you need the Lord Jesus in your life? Let me put it negatively. If you cast off the yoke and say, I won't be united to this Jesus, I won't be bound to him, I can't surrender my life to one person. If you do that, you will go through life carrying everything independently, autonomously. And that's what the world cries out for today. They want to be autonomous. They want to be free thinking, freeloaders, doing everything their own way. And they face life with misery. They face death with fear. And how shall they stand at the judgment day with no Savior, no Christ, and all the burdens of their sin clinging to them? Some people ask me, how will it be known whether people are godly or righteous on the judgment day? Well, just think about how the resurrection is going to take place. Believers, we are told, will be raised with incorruption, with new bodies fashioned like unto the Lord Jesus. But the wicked will be raised in corruption. Think of that. What kind of bodies will they have? It will look horrible. All the load of sin and all the failures and sorrows and wretchedness and misery, all clinging to that ungodly person standing before God on the judgment day. It will be no problem to separate the sheep from the goats, the righteous from the wicked. You will appear in your sins. Christians will appear united to Jesus. The yoke will still be there. That union between Jesus and his people is an eternal union. And even in heaven for all eternity, you will be united with him. We've had the reading of Psalm 23 today, and of course verse 3 talks about Jesus the Good Shepherd. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. When you're yoked to Jesus, there's great comfort. But if you're not, you have no hope. Oh, dear sinner, think of it, facing eternity with no hope. That's why we are delighted to have you with us today, to open the Bible with you, read the words of the Lord Jesus himself, and explain to you what it means to be a Christian, united to the Lord Jesus. But also we want to invite you to become a Christian, to give your heart to him today. Cease from your independent attitude and just say, Lord Jesus, I come under your yoke. I want to be joined to thee, and I want to enjoy all the help and power and all the spiritual blessings that are by faith in the Lord Jesus. Would you pray that prayer today? That's how you become a Christian. You just say, Lord, I'm ceasing from myself, and I'm going to be joined to the Lord Jesus as my Lord, my Savior, and I'm going to enjoy liberty and eternal life. If you would pray that prayer and ask the Lord to save you, would you please remain behind while others leave the sanctuary today? And just ask, or maybe someone will come and talk to you and say, I need to become a Christian. And I will ask the Lord Jesus into my heart. Boys and girls and young people too, you can become a Christian today. Come unto me, Jesus said. And I, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You've got to pray to him to enjoy that rest. Let's bow in prayer just a moment. Father, we thank thee and we praise thee for this wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus, and for this wonderful promise of gospel rest, spiritual rest, eternal rest. Thank you, Lord. And I pray that while the voice of man is silent, that thou wilt speak on, and may even here today people give their hearts to thee and trust thee as Savior. Help, Lord, send the Holy Spirit to apply these great gospel truths to all of our hearts and to the unconverted too. Oh, bless us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.